Welcome to the Seven Figure Leaders podcast. This podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners, and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. And there you'll find the link to apply. Welcome. And today we've got Richard Ford from Vision Zero Connect. Welcome, Richard.
Morning, Tom. How are you?
So I'm very good, thanks. Pleasure to have you on as a guest. So it'd be great to understand a bit more about what you do and who you help as a starting point.
Crikey. So we're a software platform company, and the foundations of the business are sustainability and energy. So after spending 25 years working in London for some significant consultancy practices, charging the earth for time and the execution of building improvement programs, I kind of took a step back from it in 2017 and looked at the way that we serviced the industry and thought there was a better way of doing it. And when you think like that, then there's an obvious concern that actually what you're doing right now isn't the best way of doing it. And it's proved that in what we've now got in front of us, which are two software platforms, which are global platforms, which deliver ESG reporting in terms of sustainability scope 1, 2, and 3, and then a building optimization software platform, which when you adopt it into your management evaluation process, actually really encourages you to make positive steps towards decarbonization and reduce energy costs. And it's been a really interesting ride since 2017. Not having any knowledge of being a founder of a software company has taught me a lot of lessons, and I've made a lot of mistakes on the way. But what we've come out with now are two global platforms which are incredibly agile in terms of their application. So wherever you are in the world, on either platform, firstly, they adopt in terms of language. So you choose Chinese or you choose German or you choose Italian, they will change automatically to those language settings, both in terms of the operator platform and all of the outputs from the platform. What it also does is recognize where you are in terms of location. So it adopts to applicable standards and legislation requirements. So the intelligence of the platform provides the ability for each of them to adapt and shorten the process of collecting data, benchmarking it against the right sort of sets of legislations and standards which are appropriate for wherever you sit in the world, and then deliver through the software process, which is AI supported, into really intelligent and smart reporting functions. So what we've created is something which shortens the delivery process, which incorporates the assessment, evaluation, and delivery of that report, but also reduced the cost process down significantly. So what we're doing is challenging the traditional approach of employing a consultant, which is both cumbersome and costly, and replacing it with something which is more focused on the client lens. So we're here now. We're in year 4 of our business, Vision Zero Connect. We have offices in London, up here in Farnsfield in Nottingham, where we have the head office. We have an office in Valletta in Malta servicing the European market. We have one in Hong Kong serving the Asian market, and one in Brisbane, which serves the Australian market. So it's really exciting times. It's interesting times for me personally, because I'm learning so much as I go forward. And what you see on Dragon's Den or any of those popular programs of people that have those thoughts and have those ambitions and then present them to the world, and they go through those processes of the development, the execution, and then hopefully the success pathways. We're right in the middle of that right now.
That's really interesting. And so you've obviously been on quite a journey to get to that point, starting from zero, and now you've got offices in all those different locations servicing clients all over the place. So kind of going back a step, in simple terms, what are your clients looking for? What's the problem that you're solving for them, and how are you solving it? I know that it's software and data, but kind of what are they looking for, and how are you bridging the gap between where they are and what they're trying to get to?
If you look at the Portfolio One platform, which is the building optimization software platform, what it's solving are probably two or three things. One is maintaining the asset value by actually recognizing opportunities for improvement and enhancing the building performance through the integration of new technologies and better practices in terms of operational management of the building, typically through reducing energy consumption. But then also actually increasing the business performance through actually the work that Portfolio One does in making you look at the business and the building portfolio in a different way, not by sweating it as hard as you can by the occupancy, but actually by working smarter. So what it delivers to all of those kind of scenarios are the foundations from which you can create reliable business case for investments in technologies, so that you can see visibly what those impacts could be if you engage those. So what it does for those market sectors, even looking at seasonal changes in weather, if you're, let's say you're in Hong Kong, recognizing the impact of the incredible fluctuations in temperature and weather cycles over there, is, well, what would you be able to do with this building to make significant improvements? So it actually answers those questions for a client or a building operator or an asset owner to actually reduce cost in operation, but also to optimize and maintain the asset value going forward.
Okay, so the thing that they're looking for is a way to reduce their costs and become more green. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's the big push at the moment. Even though there's a lot of political turmoil in Europe and in America about ESG, and they've diluted legislation and the kind of drive towards sustainability, there are still ambitions by asset owners and by businesses themselves to ensure that they're as lean and green as possible, despite the obstacles that are put in the way by the political sort of dilution of sustainability in today's environment. So yeah, it is encouraging, but what is discouraging is the lack of enthusiasm inside the UK. It's really really poor. There's no encouragement to go beyond what you see at the moment, which is solar PV, and also looking at wind turbines, which are for many people the flags of sustainability, when realistically they really are probably beyond the reach of many people, A, because of the capital costs, and B, because actually they are probably the worst performer for sustainability if you look at the scope 1 and scope 2 of the materials that you have to use to make things like solar PV panels. You know, if you looked at the supply chain on those, then you would row away quickly from those. So it's a challenging market at the moment in the UK, where there's no real support from central government in terms of the pull of legislation or the push of financial support through grants. And it really sort of has made us look at our product as a global product rather than looking at, well, firstly, shouldn't you look at a market which is closer to home? Well, no, because actually it's not one of the attractive markets. The attractive markets at the moment are Australia, Singapore, and Spain and Italy, and a little bit in France if you want to be really sort of focused, along with Malta. So it's that agility that we have to have in the business is one of the core kind of positives that we have, is that we're not constrained by the UK.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And so in terms of founding the business, did you found it from here, from the UK, and then from there you raised money and then expanded globally? Yeah. Perhaps you can expand on that journey.
Yeah. Yeah, we started with family and friends. So basically we have a bunch of shareholders who are investors as well, which we looked at in year one of our development process. Year two, we partnered up with Maven, who are a investment partner in here in Nottingham, and are part of the Midlands Engine. So we got some funding support from them, which has provided working capital so that we can further develop the and evolve the products as we go forward, but also invest in regional hubs so that we can engage business development leads in those hubs, which feed back to the Topco here in the UK. It's the intent to go out for a further round of funding in at the end of Q1 2026, where hopefully our annual recurring revenue will provide some real, a really strong profile for us to take us to the next stage, because we have to keep evolving, both in terms of the technologies that we're providing to the market, but also how we work with partners, how we develop those relationships, which require investment in communications and also business development resources.
And so from what you've just said, I'm assuming that the business is fairly capital intensive and that you have to use the capital that you raise, at least some of it, to reinvest back into the software to improve it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If you looked at our investment plan for this year, if you looked at the percentage of the revenue, probably about 30% of our of the capital that we raise and also that we secure goes back into the evolution of our software. It has to be, because we have to have features and functionality which sets us apart from our competitors. But also looking at what is the next step forward in terms of broadening the scope of services that we provide through our approach to the market, which A, keeps things simple, they keep it fresh, and they keep it sort of appropriate through that market sector.
And so as you've gone through the years, have you balanced that blend of having to reinvest back into the software to improve the product versus your expansion, entering new markets, and then actually buying acquisition?
It's difficult. It's a really difficult balance. And one of the things that we're vulnerable to, like any other business in this space, is that is commitment by clients in terms of the securing of revenue, and constantly it's being punted down the road. So. You know, you're always, month ends seem to come round very quickly for me. And you're looking and go, really? It's that time of the month already? And you're kind of like, okay, so do I dip into my reserves, or do I look at, do do I look at how we're actually moving forward, and do I maybe slow the pace down of evolution? But that's the risk as a CEO that you take, is that you can't stop investing. You have to keep investing, and you have to keep the commitment to the vision that you have. And everybody that I talk to in the industry, both in terms of funding, potential funding partners, and also competitors, it's exactly the same. That is the really tough decision maker. You know, unfortunately, we've got some good clients, and we're also in the right place at the right time, with some really good market relationships in Australia, which is proving to be one of our success stories. Despite the cricket and our poor performance over the winter, they seem to like the platforms that we're putting out there in the market, which kind of captures the imagination, both in terms of commercial property portfolios, then the education sector, and also the senior living sector. So that adaptability that we've committed to and invested in is proving to be a really good, you know, a good commitment and a good decision. So continuing that that challenge in terms of balance and making the right decisions, hopefully we're doing the right things at the right time.
Excellent. And so naturally, some of the questions I'm interested in are kind of finance related. Mm. When you raise money and go through a few series of funding, fundraising, naturally you have to manage that cash to make sure that you don't spend it before you have an opportunity to raise more. So who have you got in your finance function that's supporting you with that process of firstly getting the money raised from investors, so modeling, yeah, forecasting, and then actually helping you manage the cash once it's raised to make sure you don't spend it too quickly, and help you understand when you're, yeah, going to raise again and how much you're going to need.
Yeah. So one of our core functions is a CFO, Tashina, who is ex Dun & Bradstreet, very competent in and very experienced in the process of raising capital. And also managing our financial position. So we work really closely together to ensure that actually looking at matching the projections forward from the BD teams in each of the regions and the expenditure from the TopCo doesn't expose us to actually just sort of supporting each of the regions incessantly if those commissions that I referred to before are deferred, you know. So we manage that really closely, and also we have a couple of specialist board advisors where we've engaged them to reach out to potential investors and help us build the pitch decks, look at what the significant priorities are in terms of the visualization of the business in front of those potential investors. What are they looking for? Well, they're looking for annual recurring revenue. They're looking for the snowball effect that you have with each of those clients and what the retention rates are with each of those clients. So securing them, and I learned a lot from a very good friend of mine, and he said, look, make sure that you secure them on long-term license agreements. So maybe 3 years with the option to extend by two, but then look to grow each of those relationships as hard as possible by adding value, maintaining the level and commitment of support and of quality service that you provide them, but snowballing. And that's what the investors are really keen to see, is really strong ARR, really strong retention of clients, and also effectively a good snowballing percentage on each of the accounts. So coming from a consultant's background and going into both in software and then also looking at how to approach funders on the potential investors investments, the last 3 years at the age of 60 has been probably the most intense of my life, but also in terms of education, the most fulfilling. It's been an incredible experience of learning how to approach those potential investors with the right products, the right language, and the right substance to make sure that it actually fits what they're looking for.
That's really, really interesting. And I think that's a better answer than a lot of business owners would give to that question. Thanks very much for being a guest. Is there anything else you'd like to share or any particular types of connections that you're looking for so that any listeners in the audience might either be able to get in touch with you or put you in touch with?
Yeah, I mean, our software products, the whole foundation of what we're doing in terms of the software products is about agility and the ability to adapt to different market sectors. So if you have a single building or a portfolio of buildings, I don't care where they are or how they're for what their sort of structure and format is. If you're interested in reducing cost, both in terms of operational costs and looking at the decarbonization, then we're interested in talking to you. And I'd drive you towards visionzeroconnect.com, where you can connect with me directly. And it would be really, really interesting to see how we can support you and how, through a really short introductory path in terms of our approach to your business in terms of adopting something like Portfolio One or ESG Navigate, how quickly and how effectively we can become a really strong asset for you. That's
excellent.
All I'd ask.
So we'll make it, yeah, that's perfect. So we'll make it really easy for anyone who's interested to get in touch with you. We'll put a link to your LinkedIn and website in the show notes.
Brilliant.
Rich, thank you very much for being a guest on the podcast. Rich Ford.
My pleasure.
Vision Zero Connect. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thanks for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. On that page, you'll find the link to apply.